superior news and issues from a superior point of view.
Coming up on Simply Superior, the pandemic has meant canceled concerts and spoken word events, but you still have your radio.
When two souls meet and the whole world feels new.
That's Toulouse Galen Lee, and she's bringing songs from her canceled national concert tour right here on the air. Plus, Margie Price is one of the area's best-known authors of books for young people, and she too is turning to the airwaves to share her newly released works.
By the time Perdant arrived, winter had settled in, and the streets were snow-covered and slippery.
All that after this.
Issues from a superior point of view.
Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. So how are you coping with social distancing and sheltering in place during the coronavirus outbreak? While the words stay home sounds simple enough, it's comforting to know that many of us would rather hang out together. But if a planet full of scientists and political leaders are telling you not to, you should probably listen. That's meant closures of everything from barbershops to restaurants, and of course, concerts and spoken word events. But guess what? Your radio still works, or your computer still live streams, and you're hearing me now. And far more important, you can hear some of those performers and artists who've had to cancel their concerts in person. My guest by telephone is one of those, and one of the Northland's best-known singer-songwriters, and certainly the area's best-known singer-songwriter-violinist, Galen Lee. She was already a fixture on the Twin Ports music scene when she won National Public Radio's Tiny Desk Contest in 2016. And the rest is history, and she's been touring ever since. I'm proud to say I knew her when and admired her back then. Welcome to Simply Superior, Galen Lee.
Thanks for having me, Robin.
You're quite welcome. So you were on tour when this whole virus hit. When did you realize that maybe you should put your travels on hold?
Well, we were in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I woke up, you know, the night before. I had talked to the venue in Kansas City that we were going to be at down the road, and, you know, we had thought, well, maybe what we could do is live stream the concert on Facebook so that if it's not well attended, people could attend anyways. But the next day I woke up, and I just had a bad feeling about not wanting to make others sick, you know, by coming.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I was worried about my own health, too, because I have a disability and small lungs. But just the idea that you don't really know who's going to be affected by your decisions to hold a concert like that. And so I decided to turn around. My husband and I started the drive back from Nebraska. And so we were gone for 4 days with zero shows. And that was my tour in March.
You know, being in Lincoln, Nebraska, I'm sure from Lincoln, Nebraska's point of view, Duluth Superior is probably irrelevant. But I mean, it sounds like, you know, the middle of nowhere sort of place you would be when something like this happens.
Yeah, it was too bad. Well, I mean, I like Nebraska.
I'm sure it's wonderful. It's
cool.
Just, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it was just kind of stuck in the middle of the country. And if we had gone farther, like, as it turns out, everything would have been canceled anyway. So we made the right choice. It's just kind of a bummer that we left, but so far we are doing well and hoping that, you know, nothing comes of our decision to leave town. We had like hand sanitizer and face masks and tons of zinc, and we were all,
and
I was glad, I was very happy to get home.
Right. And pretty, home is in
good.
The Twin Ports?
Oh yeah. We live in Duluth. Yep. We have a little apartment and we really like it here. We keep, you know, it's kind of nice. All the traveling we've done in the last 3 years, there's only a handful of cities where we've been like, oh, maybe we could see ourselves here. But then 5 minutes later, we're like, no, we'd miss Lake Superior. So we always want to stay based out of here, I think, because it's so pretty.
Right. So tell us about the online concert.
That is going to be really fun. I'm doing two of them. One of them is Friday night at 7 p.m. on the 20th of March. And another one is Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. On the 22nd of March, because I have some fans in the U.K. and I also want kids to be able to tune in. So decided to do two different times that would work for most people. And I'm going to play about an hour, I think, of tunes, you know, like my pretty standard concert, although I'm working on, I have a new song that I'm going to try to maybe perform at least on one of the concerts. I got to figure out the loop for it a little more before I bring it out. But yeah, just going to play some tunes and talk to people. And I think there's a way to ask questions live on the sidebar. And so I might actually try to take that opportunity and see if I can answer people's questions if they have any at the end of the show or throughout. I think it's going to be fun. I've never really done a live stream except for once, like I think 8 years ago with Alan Sparhawk.
That was a totally different platform, whatever it was.
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't even exist anymore, the platform that we use.
Which platform are you using?
Well, I decided to go with YouTube.
Okay.
I do a lot of work in the schools, too, and it's really cute, but I get a lot of comments on my YouTube video. You came to my school. I'm a fifth grader. And so I figured this would be a good way, like, you know, little kids know how to use YouTube. And I wanted
little kids know how to use all this stuff, and
when in doubt, find a little kid, right? Yeah, this would be something that would be the most easily accessed by the masses, I guess, especially kids, so... I'm hoping that the 2 o'clock Sunday performance, people do take me up on bringing their kids to watch, because I just think it's a fun. I think kids nowadays don't think of music as live as often because they are so used to seeing it online. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a good way to use YouTube to do it.
And that's a question. They can access this after the fact. Some of our listeners will be listening on Friday morning and be able to catch you on Friday night. And also Sunday. Others may be listening on a rebroadcast next week. So if you're listening, you know when it is, but they'll be able to access you once it's archived, correct?
I believe so, yes. I mean, I'm definitely hoping for that. So,
right. So what's the URL or what's the best way to find it?
It's youtube.com/user/Galen Lee. So youtube.com/user/Galen Lee. And Galen Lee is spelled GALYNNLEA.
All right.
And I'm going to try to have those really easily visible on my homepage.
And your website is?
Website is galenlee.com.
All right. So people, I mean, you're famous around here. Come on, everybody should know. So
you can spell it wrong and Google will still redirect you if you get it wrong.
Yes.
Most of the time.
That is sometimes a good thing and sometimes not. So, okay.
Oh, exactly. That can be problematic, but in the case of my name, which is not easy to spell, that's totally for the best.
Right. But it's easy to say. We are talking to Galen Lee, a singer, songwriter, violinist of national renown, who is gracing us with her radio presence here today on Simply Superior. So you've got a few songs for us.
Well, the first one I thought I would do is the one that I entered into the Tiny Desk Contest. It's called Someday We'll Linger in the Sun. And I wrote it right after I got married, kind of reflecting on the months leading up to our wedding. I had gotten sick and needed an emergency surgery. And then there were complications after the surgery, and it was a pretty scary time, but my husband, Paul, at the time my fiancé, was very supportive and really walked through that whole experience with me. So I wrote this song about how love is beautiful even when it is difficult or complicated.
reached the pier and back again. It was the most scared I've ever been. You held my hand until the end, and I love you. And I love you. Don't tell me we've got time. The subtle thief of life, it slips away when we take no mind. We pull the weeds out till the dawn, nearly too tired to carry on. Someday we'll linger in the sun, and I love you, and I love you.
That was Someday We'll Linger in the Sun by Galen Lee, who is our guest on Simply Superior today, bringing you What a Concept, a radio concert, since we can't quite do all these things in person. What else do you have for us, Galen?
Well, I thought I would play a more cheerful tune, just keeping our spirits up. This is called Watch the World Unfold, and I'm kind of a perfectionist in a lot of ways, and it's about not being so hard on yourself. Pushing up, pushing up through the dirt just like a seed, but you're never quite a flower. You feel more just like a weed. Driving through, driving through. You wanna know where you are going, but the windshield's always dirty, and you never get to see. What makes you think that you'll ever get there? What makes you think you deserve to know? Who are you really? Are you so important?
take a look around and watch the world unfold. Watch the world unfold. Watch the world unfold. Watch the world unfold. Need advice, you have no clue what you're doing. Moral compass, it is spinning. An identity unhinged. Where to turn, where to turn? There's so many opinions, and they're all a little different. And the outlook's getting dim. What makes you think that you'll ever get there? What makes you think you deserve to know? Who are you really? Are you so important? Take a look around and watch the world unfold. Watch the world unfold. Watch the world unfold. Watch the world unfold. Pushing up, pushing up through the dirt just like a seed. But you're never quite a flower. You feel more just like a weed.
We've just heard Watch the World Unfold by Galen Lee, who is our guest by telephone. And full disclosure, in case you're wondering why the song sounded so clear, the song was recorded by you, Galen, in your living room.
Yep, I wanted to make it as close to a real live session as possible, so decided to do it in my living room today.
And you had real live living room sounds, too.
Yes, we did. Tried to keep them to a minimum, but you can't keep every noise out, unfortunately. Especially, though, I had to take a second take when the dog started demanding her dinner, so that was the one noise I wanted to try to minimize. She was barking.
Your very special dog, Clara?
Yes, she's right. Super cute. I'll probably show her to the audience during the live stream concert because she's pretty fun.
And plus, that way, in case she decides to accompany you, people will know who it is.
Right? Yes, they will get to know her before the show starts.
All right. Well, let's go to the next one. And it is?
This is called The Long Way Around, and I wrote it on tour like about a year and a half ago, and I just released it this fall. And it's about friendships that take work but are worth it in the end.
Thank you.
two souls meet, and the whole world feels new shared moments feet. All colors bright and true, and there is laughter, and there are good things growing everywhere. And I'm happy to be in this place with you. And I'm happy to be in this place. What's this about? And you're making me unstable, and I don't wanna go down this road with you. No, I don't want to go down this road. I want to go, but I can't, and I won't. All learn to sew up the wounds that I broke open with you, 'cause I knew and I chose, and I don't feel at home in this world anymore. No, I don't feel at home in this world. We rein it in, and there is better understanding. Nobody wins if there is flight without the landing. And we learn to keep our hearts in time, try not to burn the careful ties that bind us together. And I'm taking the long way around with you. And I'm taking the long way around. And I'm happy to be in this place with you. And I'm taking the long way around.
And that was The Long Way Around by our guest, Gaylin Lee, who is joining us by phone, but has sent us files of her music recorded in her living room. Several of these, you had loops. Tell us about the loop technique that you've been doing.
So the looping pedal is a really neat device that I learned from Alan Sparhawk of the band Low. He's a great musician. They perform all over the world and stuff, and so what it is it's a recording device where you push down on a button and hold it down, and while you're playing, that little pedal is recording what you play, and then when you let it go, it plays it back again and again, but it's all done in real time. It's not pre-recorded, at least the one that I use. Mm-hmm. Once I got used to it, I realized it really gave me a lot of freedom to perform solo.
And you can do on tour what previously you could only do in a studio.
Exactly.
You know, ironically, this is something you can do during the shelter-in-place situation that we're in right now, right? You've got the loop, you know, so you can be multiple instruments all at once. Although, again, we're hoping that this does not last that long.
Oh, no, yeah. You know, it's such a weird feeling to not know how long we're going to be here.
part of that, too, is this is your livelihood, so you do have ways for people to support you online.
Yep, and I've tried to make that clear. It's weird asking for help in that regard, but it is definitely all my income for the next few months is essentially not happening. So hopefully a concert or two will help. I'm going to see how they go, and then, you know, if I don't need to raise any more money that month, I don't think I'm going to charge for everything that I do. And you don't have to, on my shows, on the YouTube ones, you don't have to donate. It's just an option because I want people to be able to enjoy music even if they're not in a position to donate.
Right.
So what's neat about this concert online is that I've already heard from a lot of people overseas that are saying they're excited to finally be able to see me live.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty cool. And it's something I maybe don't want to just drop and let go of right when we are allowed to go back out. I think maybe it's worth looking into live concerts online more as a way to reach people who wouldn't otherwise be able to get there. People with disabilities, too, can't always get the help they need to go out to concerts, or they aren't always able to. And so live concerts online is a kind of a cool accommodation.
Right. Who knows? Maybe an entire new virtual venue will spring up as a result of all this. And I do want to emphasize that that's the whole point of this show, at least this show this week and for the next few weeks, as far as we can see, is, okay, we all know what we can't do, so let's concentrate on what we can. And I mean, one of the main things on this is none of this was planned. And so, you know, we're all doing this sort of on the seat of our pants. And again, I can't express enough how people need to get out and do something, or even if it isn't getting out, but, you know, just be positive and do something. So I'm thrilled you're doing this. I'm thrilled that you're here with us. Once again, our guest is Galen Lee, who has a concert coming up on YouTube tonight and also on Sunday. If you're listening after those dates, of course, it will be archived. And that URL again is youtube.com/user/Galen Lee. Galen Lee is spelled G-A-E-L-Y-N-N-L-E-A. And your website is?
GalenLee.com.
Great. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Robin.
We'll be back with a well-known Twin Ports author of books for young people who'll share readings from her canceled book tour with us after this.
And I love you.
News and issues from a superior point of view.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. My guest via phone is described on her website as an author, speaker, and proud Minnesotan, although I think I can say she's no less proud to venture across the bridge from her Duluth home to share in the life of Superior in Northwest Wisconsin. Her books, primarily for young readers, have made it on the New York Times bestseller list, among them Heart of a Samurai, which was named the Newbery Honor Book. She's also received much acclaim for The Peace Bell, and I'll let her tell the story behind it. But first, welcome to Simply Superior, Margie Price.
Hi.
Hey. So you have
Here I am in Superior, without even leaving my home.
Right. So you have two new books, Village of Scoundrels, which just came out in February, and The Littlest Voyager, published this month. You were scheduled to have numerous dates of readings for those launches, and then the virus hit. One of those, I might add, was at the Zenith Bookstore in West Duluth, where owner Bob Dubrow suggested you when I asked him who we might migrate from his store to the airwaves. So let's give a thank you to Bob.
Yes, thanks, Bob.
So
and
tell us.
And they're still sending out books. I just picked up curbside a couple of books that I ordered from them just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. You can order online or call or email, and they'll help you find your books and put them in a little bag and put them out on a cart outside. So all you have to do is go pick them up and no human contact.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in all seriousness, this is the way we will cope, and people are coming up with all sorts of innovative ways to to live our lives.
That's right.
And do things that we normally would do. So we are thrilled to have you doing what you would normally do, which is have a reading in a bookstore, but instead have it on the air here. So yeah. Tell us about the Tuna book.
Well, Village of Scoundrels came out the end of February, and I put off the launch for the book until my next book, which is The Littlest Voyageur, is to come out the 24th of March. And I was going to do those two books together as a launch, and I guess I still am, virtually. Village of Scoundrels is based on the true story of a village in France that during World War II sheltered many hundreds, possibly thousands of Jewish children and teens rescued from French concentration camps. And I got interested in the story. I actually bumped into a little snippet about this village when I was researching Shadow on the Mountain, which is another one of my books based on a true story during World War II of a young boy who got involved in the resistance in Norway during that era. So the snippet that I read was about a village in France that sheltered these children, and they were located on a high plateau, kind of a remote area in France, and so they didn't even have a policeman in their village. So that made it kind of a good place to hide if you had to hide. Mm-hmm. But the gendarmes, the French police in the valley, in the city in the valley, found out that they were doing this. And so from time to time, they would send up several cars full of gendarmes to go hunt for these kids. And when that happened, the villagers would send the children out into the forest to hide, or they would tell them to go pick mushrooms or blueberries. And when the gendarmes went away, the village children would go out in the forest and sing a little song, letting the hidden children know that it was safe to come back.
Hmm.
So several years ago...
And this is based on a true story. So.
This is a true story, yes. This is a village, Le Chambon-sur-Lignon. It's not unknown. There are other books written about it. What's different about my book is that when I started reading up on the village, I started realizing after a time, most of the books are nonfiction, you know, just explaining what happened there, that a lot of the people who were involved in this rescue effort were teenagers, which is who I often write for. And so I got real interested in looking more closely at the young people who were sheltered there and the young people who became forgers and people smugglers and couriers for the resistance and many other ways that they got involved in helping these war refugees to stay safe or be smuggled to Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. This is pretty serious stuff. So how do you do it as a children, or what age limit is it?
Well, I really think it's sort of a middle school. Once kids start learning about World War II, it helps to have some background. Although I will say that I've had a number of fourth and fifth graders who are really into reading about World War II be very interested in this book. So it's not too hard for a fourth or fifth grader to read. And if they have some background in World War II, that helps. But how do you do it? Well, first of all, they're not in the midst of war. So there isn't a lot of violence, and the story does not take place in concentration camps. These children have already been rescued from the concentration camps.
They're rescued from the camps or rescued from the prospect of going to them?
No, rescued from the camps. Hmm. But at the beginning of the war, it was legal to take children and teenagers out of the camps if their parents would let them go and if there was somewhere that would take them. And so a lot of these children ended up in this cluster of villages on this plateau because they had boarding houses, partly because there was a special private high school that kids from all around Europe would go to. And so they already had these houses set up to accommodate young people, and that they would bring these Jewish kids in and they would just become part of the family, you know, part of the group. As the war went on, it was no longer legal to take kids out of the camps, but the rescue operations would smuggle them out if they could get them out.
Mm-hmm. And I asked the question, by the way, knowing perfectly well that kids today, or kids in every era, right, are aware of what's going on in the world around them. Certainly at a time like right now, everybody's aware of things. And you can't sugarcoat. So
Right. Yeah. Well, no, I feel that way, too, that kids know that there's, you know, a big dark world, sometimes dark world out there. And I don't think it really does them a lot of service to try to pretend it doesn't exist. I think what you want to do is give them the tools to cope with it and to meet it and to know how to be helpful, and that they can be helpful, that there are things they can do, and that if they do confront these dark times right. with courage.
Well, this is all about empowerment and resistance, right?
Right. Yeah, it's about resistance. It really is a story, I think it's a very hopeful story, and about good people doing the right thing in a dark time.
Mm-hmm. And the little Voyager.
Yeah. Now, if you just need a good laugh
okay.
and to have some fun.
We could use that now, yes.
Right, and to enjoy the North Woods vicariously. This is your book. The Littlest Voyageur is about a red squirrel. His name is Jean-Pierre Petit Le Rouge, and he wants to become a voyageur. So he stows away on a voyageur canoe. And as you might expect, if you know red squirrels at all, it doesn't go particularly well.
I haven't really made their acquaintance in that environment, but go ahead, yes.
Well, you can imagine what it would be like to have a squirrel in your canoe with you.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. That does happen, actually, yes.
Well, when I've talked about this book a little bit with kids back in the day, you know, a few months ago when I was doing school visits, I asked them how many of them have been in canoes, and lots of kids raise their hands, of course, in this part of the world. And then I asked how many have had a squirrel in their canoe. And it's surprising. It's surprising. I don't know if they're making it up, but how many hands go up? So I guess squirrels do have sort of an affinity for canoes.
And without giving away the whole story, is this one more or less successful, or accommodates or figures out a way to make it work?
Well, he manages to hang on.
All right.
although, you know, from Montreal, which is where he stows away, he gets all the way to Grand Portage, only to discover what it is the voyageurs are there to do and there to trade. So once he discovers, he gets into this storeroom and sees these piles of his animal brethren's hides, he has a change of heart.
Okay. All right. Well, we won't give that away at all. We are talking to Margie Price, the author of two new books, and someone who was giving book readings and participating in launches that at this point have to be curtailed or shunted over to the radio. And we're very happy to do that. The two books are Village of Scoundrels and The Littlest Voyageur. So could we hear a little bit from each?
Sure. I guess I'll start with Village of Scoundrels, since that was the first one out in February. And I'm just going to start pretty close to the beginning. As I mentioned before, originally, at the very beginning of the war, there wasn't a policeman in this village. But they find out that they're hiding Jews and other war refugees, and they send a policeman to spy on the villagers. Okay. His name is Inspector Perdin, which in French means loser. But that comes up later. So he enters the village at this point. By the time Perdin arrived, winter had settled in, and the streets were snow-covered and slippery. Since the village was built on the side of a steep hill, this could make for treacherous going. He was mincing his way to the cafe across from his hotel when a loud, sustained shriek made him stop in the middle of the street. Someone in danger? Distress? Perhaps his brand new job as a sole police officer was about to begin with something truly dramatic. He turned his head, all his senses alert. Maybe one of the illegals said to be hiding here was trying to murder someone. If he could just pinpoint where the scream was coming from, he would dash to the rescue. The high keening transformed to a squeal of ah. And did he detect an element of glee in that scream? The sound grew closer and clearer, like a train engine echoing between stone walls, now muffled, now screaming, now rounding a corner, gathering speed. Then there, careening at high speed down the street, aimed straight at him, came a train of sleds ridden by teenagers. Surely they'll stop, Perdant thought. He flung up his free hand, palm first, as if he might stop them by sheer force of will. Quickly realizing that they couldn't possibly stop, he lunged out of their way at the last moment. Oh! The riders screamed as they rocketed past him. No sooner had one sled gone by when another followed, and then another. A cap blew off, a glimpse of red stockings, a hair ribbon, snow-frosted eyeglasses. Did that boy just stick his tongue out as he whisked past? A little brown and white dog chased after, barking and barking. The squeals of delight echoed between the village shops, then changed tone when the teens zoomed past the town square. Sparks flew from the metal runners as the sleds clattered over the railroad tracks, and the screams faded as the riders rounded the corner and headed toward the bridge that spanned the river. He knew the town was full of teenagers. They came from all over France to attend some kind of exceptional high school meant to promote peace and international unity. A little too late for that, Perdant thought. Many of these students lived in boarding houses. It was known that some of them were foreign Jews and other illegals and undesirables. And since he was also quite sure it was not legal to ride sleds down the main street, there were obviously delinquents among them. Scoundrels, Perdant said aloud before he stepped into the cafe, notebook under his arm, ready to begin his first report. So that's as much as I'll read, but I will tell you that all of those kids having fun sliding down the main street are involved in other much more dangerous activities.
Right, right. And that's sort of a counterpoint to between the serious and the light. So
They do have fun, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, I think that's the way it really was. I mean, I know that's the way it really was because I interviewed several people who lived in the village and who were sheltered there and also who were involved in the rescue effort. Mm-hmm. They're in their 90s now. But one thing they really wanted to make clear was that they had fun.
Mm-hmm. And they were kids at the time.
They did what kids like to do in addition to doing other very dangerous things.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Margie Price, one of the Northland's most acclaimed, certainly authors for young readers, a Newbery Honor Award winner, and she is reading from, or just read from, Village of Scoundrels, one of her most recent books that just came out in February, something that she was on a book tour to present, and The Littlest Voyager. I need to pronounce that the Northland way. Voyageur.
Voyageur.
Right, and more French.
Yes, you can use your outrageous French accent.
Outrageous French accent, yes. I got right. That part right. So
Yeah, I'll read a little bit. As I mentioned before, Jean-Pierre Petit Le Rouge, a red squirrel, longs to be a voyageur. From his treetop perch near Montreal, he watches as the voyageurs return. And he says, sometimes on their return, I caught the scent of the far away, pine cones sticky with rosin, the sweet sap of maple trees, musky mushrooms, juicy berries, a multitude of nuts and seeds yet to be tasted. It was a smell that stirred up in me a wanderlust, a call to adventure of the grandest sort. I want to be a voyageur, I told my friends. So I'm going to skip around a little bit. When his friends scoff at him, he says, why should I not be a voyageur? Because you are a squirrel, my friends argued. Because you cannot paddle a canoe. Because you cannot cook. Because at the portages, you cannot carry a heavy bundle. This is what I said to them. I may not paddle, but I can sing. I may not cook, but I can eat. I may not carry much, but I can carry something. Well, said my friends, they will never let you into their canoe. Perhaps, I agreed, but their canoes are so big, there are plenty of places to hide, and I am so small, I can fit into one of their vest pockets. So that's exactly what he does, is hide in a vest pocket until he can't stand it anymore. Has to get out.
Sure.
So.
All right. Well, I can only imagine the fun that he has when he gets out. So.
Yeah. And then he starts getting in trouble right away.
As
for one thing,
do.
He really, really likes to sing, but the voyagers don't appreciate his singing. If you've ever heard a red squirrel on the top of a tree rolling his R's as better than any Frenchman alive, you'll know why.
Right. Well, we won't ask you to do that right now.
No, might not.
I will ask you your website so people can learn where to find your books if they can't quite, well, certainly they can't go to a bookstore now. They may be able to go to Zenith Books and do the drive-by, if you will. But
and,
your website?
Right, and the bookstore at Fitgers also has all my books.
Okay, right.
Yeah, my website is just Margie Preuss, MargiePreuss.com. And there's more information about all my different books and these two new ones and links to indie bookstore, way to you can order books. So I hope that people will take advantage of that.
And I will repeat that. It's Margie Preuss, MargiePreuss.com. And as you said, all your books, I, in my introduction, mentioned The Peace Bell. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, that was one of my very early on projects. It was a picture book about the Peace Bell.
And we can't stop asking you about it.
The one at, actually, not the one at Anger Park, because the one at Anger Park is actually a gift from our sister city in Japan. Mm-hmm. But the one that did reside in Duluth for many years following World War II and was sent back to its home, our sister city, Sumi City in Japan, after someone discovered where it had originated, and then it had been taken from a Navy kind of shipyard or junkyard after the war as a war trophy and put on the USS Duluth and sent to Duluth, Minnesota, where it sat on the floor of City Hall for 9 years. Hmm. Nobody knew what to do with it or how to ring it, or, you know, because you have to have a special shoro, a kind of a bell tower for it. And if you've been up to Anger Park, and I hope everyone goes there and does carefully ring the bell, one at a time, you know, you use this big log sort
right.
of thing to ring it. And it makes an amazingly resonant sound. Anyway, I tell the story of how that bell came to Duluth and was sent back to Sumi City and how we became sister cities because of it.
Great.
In this little picture book. The Peace Bell is no longer in print.
Oh.
I don't advertise it on my website because of that, because you can't really buy it. I mean, I suppose you could get it used, you know, on Amazon or something.
Sure.
And I think Fitgers has some copies that I gave them.
Well, I know it's at the library, and the library is not open now, but it
right.
will reopen, right?
Yeah. No, and it is a local. I mean, it's of interest because it's a local story.
Right.
In
each of these, I sense a sense of a journey, right? That the characters, the bell as a character, I guess, even the children in hiding are on a journey, if you will.
That is very true. I guess we're all on a journey.
Right. Well, that's actually a great way to wrap it up, because we're on a journey really in the unknown right now with the virus, but we can certainly cope. Your being here is a great example of that. I hope people are as inspired as I am. Once again, the website is Margie Preuss, MargiePreuss.com. And you'll have information on how to get the books, because this all happened right at the time of a release, and so things were a little bit interrupted.
Right. So, but you can order from your indie bookstore, Zenith Bookstore in Duluth, or the bookstore at Fitgers, also in Duluth, or you can click on the indie bookstore link that's in my website and order that way.
Great. And thank you for joining us on Simply Superior.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be back after this. That's it for this edition of Simply Superior, but we're not done sharing the songs and stories of talented folks from our region who've had to cancel their events. We're planning more for next week's show in this and possibly additional time slots. And if you have a performance that's been affected by the pandemic, we'd love to consider putting it on the air. Drop a note or send an audio file to me, robin.washington@wpr.org. Once again, Robin.Washington, all normal spelling, at WPR.org. We'll see you next time. Stay healthy, keep your social distance, and stay creative.
Simply Superior news and issues from a superior point of view. Gathered to mirror your life and interest with the goal of helping you to understand the world we live in and the region we hold dear by sharing the stories and information you'll enjoy and